here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And Dad, Christmas is coming. Goose is getting fat.
Right.
And the stores, the commercials are already in full swing.
Right.
People are already starting to do their shopping and decorate their houses. In fact, the other night I was out and the roads are busy, especially on the weekends, already busy.
And I'm listening to Christmas music as I fix breakfast on Saturday.
Absolutely.
Morning.
So, but as we prepare for Christmas, the day, you know, obviously the day that we celebrate here, especially in the Western culture.
Which is on the Lord's Day this year.
Right. As we prepare for Christmas on the day, and how should we prepare our hearts for this Christmas time, this season, as we kind of focus in particular on the incarnation of Christ, his first coming, what should be our focus? And I probably want to just kind of give our listeners a kind of a brief overview of what we're going to do this Christmas holiday.
Right.
We're going to talk about the preparation, the anticipation, the incarnation, and then the proclamation. Today is preparation. So, you know, what should be our focus?
Well, I think we have to, sometimes we ought to just stop and think about what went into all that led up to the coming of Christ the first time, to what we call the Christmas event.
Right.
The source of that's another thing, but it's what we use to describe Christ's coming and the whole nativity and all of that. But I don't think we have sometimes an appreciation for how long this happened, how long this went on.
Yeah, read to us Hebrews 1:1. I know that you said that was kind of just something you want to give us a focus as we move into this first introductory one we're doing this holiday season.
Right, the Hebrews actually covered a lot of years in a brief verse when he said, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us in his Son.
Mm.
So in various ways, at various times, he spoke to the fathers and the prophets. At least 4,000 years of
So kind of breaking this down in three things here, there was a long wait for the Messiah. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And then there's a lot of stories before the Messiah came that kind of give us this understanding of what people were longing for and what they were hoping for. And then obviously we want to talk about, you know, what are some of the implications for now as Christmas, now that Christ has come the first time. So really just kind of starting off, and you've already began a little bit on this, there was a long wait
for the Messiah.
I don't think we realize that.
Right. We don't know exactly how long. I mean, if you go by Usher, whom a lot of people think was not all that accurate, but he wasn't as far off as people sometimes say.
Right.
But around 4,000 years or so of time between the fall of man and woman, and the birth of Christ.
Right.
And so you have this thousands of years, and then there's this...
That's a long time.
Right. And there is a building, a preparatory work. And you talk about stories, you know, we grow up, we hear Bible stories as children, but those Bible stories are stories about something important and specific. We certainly need to teach our children something about the fall and man's need of a Savior because of the fall, and how that, what the implications that has for us. But even there, as God comes to man who has rebelled from him and makes a promise that the descendant of the woman will destroy the serpent, or the serpent stood for the devil.
You actually said something when we were talking about this beforehand. You said when Adam and Eve fell, the drama begins.
Yeah.
Lead up to the coming of Christ. It's almost like this ushering in of true dramatic fashion here. I mean, there's a lot going on.
It is the
drama
of redemption. I think there's a book by that title by one of the older writers. Maybe it was Graham Scroggie, but... we don't know how long Adam and Eve lived in the garden in innocence.
Right.
We're not told that. We get the brief story, the most important things, the things we need to hear, the inspired story. But yes, when the fall happens, it says, Uncle Jed, I think, says in the Beverly Hillbillies, here's where the plot commences to thicken.
Right.
And it certainly did, because sin changed everything.
Mm.
But not just that sin changed everything, but God came into the picture and changed it.
And he's not thrown off course here. It's not like all of a sudden he's surprised. Oops,
Adam fell. Now
we got to do something. Yeah. I mean, God is sovereign. He knows what's going to happen. So now ushers in this grand demonstration, if you will, this drama that's going to precede his coming, that's going to anticipate his coming.
And the drama unfolds because we move just 1,000 years later or however, and we have the ark.
Right. But, you know, it's interesting. You made a comment. You said that he came in the fullness of time, you know.
Right.
And so as we're talking about, there was this long period of time. God is timeless, and now God works within time, and he prepared the world to receive Christ at the appointed time.
Right. It is interesting when you think about the implication of that passage in Galatians when Paul says, but in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made of the law, that he might redeem those who are under the law and bring us into the adoption of sons, of children. But fullness of time, and we're talking about 4,000 years or so.
Right.
So it wasn't God's plan for it to happen all at once.
Right.
He was going to be glorified, and he was going to tell a story in the process of this preparation. So it is, and yeah, God is timeless, and yet he comes into time and starts this redemption, dramatic redemption story.
So we talked about this long period of time, this long wait, approximately 4,000 years, maybe longer, maybe a little less. Now let's talk about some of those specific stories.
Right.
Okay, what are some, we don't have time to cover them all.
No, so what are some of those places, specific the high stories? Points, but certainly the ark is you know, what, over 1,000 years later.
Right.
But people lived 1,000 years then, or close to it. Methuselah lived during that time, and Enoch, and these fellows lived, and then comes Noah, and sin is abounding.
Right.
But what does Romans say? Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And so the ark is a story with Christological implications. The ark
redemptive is, type thinking.
It is. Yeah. And the ark is typical, as typological, right. Or as a type of Christ, because it is in the ark that they found safety from the wrath of God against sin. And then you move on to Abraham. Again, a good bit of time in our way of thinking, but Abraham has made a promise that through him all nations of the earth will be blessed. That's a gospel promise.
Right.
And so now Abraham, this is part of the preparation, as Abraham learns some things about God and his redemptive plan and what he's going to do. And then you take Moses, and he's the lawgiver, and he is, in fact, Moses tells the people of God that one day there's going to one that's going to come who is like me.
You know, it's interesting. I kind of want to go back to Abraham real quick, because I think about Abraham. He had no Bible.
Right.
There's nothing other than stories that he's been told by his forefathers, maybe about Adam and what happened. There's nothing that, like, we have the Bible, we have the revealed Word of God.
Right. We
know
have
Christ has come, and he will return and second coming. He had none of this.
Right.
To me, that is so fascinating that these men believed something, and they had nothing in writing. It was truly God speaking to them and going for it.
They had a verbal tradition.
Yeah.
They did not have a written scripture.
How easy it could be to just go, this is...
They may have had something written. There may have been something, but it would have been chiseled.
Right.
Put on a tablet.
But they would, I mean, this is a farce. We're talking about prehistoric almost, you know. This is...
Well, as we look at
things. As we look at things, yeah.
So,
but anyway, going back to the prophet.
It is incredible. And so then Moses comes, and Abraham had been told that something like this was going to happen. And Moses brings God gives him the law, which is an indicator of man's sin,
right,
which shows him his need of a Savior. But even more than that, I think of the tabernacle.
Mm.
The tabernacle is where God came and dwelt among men. You know, well, what does it say of Christ later? He tabernacled, he
dwelt,
put up his tent among us. His tent was his body. And often our bodies are called a tent. But the tabernacle is, again, typological, typical, is a type of Christ. So that leads us to something really pretty significant, and that's David.
Mm-hmm.
When he became king, he was made a promise by the Lord, and the Lord told him that he would have a descendant who would reign on his throne forever. Now, if you think about the implications of that for an earthly king, and that that was a promise when God told him that, he was so humbled by it. But he didn't have the whole story.
Right.
He just knew that God had promised a descendant.
And no one really had the full story. I mean, even when the prophet Isaiah prophesied, you know, nobody, they were told what would happen, and pieces of the story kept getting revealed and what would happen. But these people are anticipating something that is, they see through a glass dimly.
They really do, and yeah. They don't have the whole story. They've got enough to know that something is coming. They're being prepared.
It's like watching away. A third of the movie mm-hmm. and not finishing it, but wondering what's going to happen.
Or watching excerpts from the movie.
Or just watching excerpts and not seeing the end.
The whole thing. Yeah.
Well,
and men like Asaph, who was a psalmist himself, they took this promise to David seriously. In fact, sometimes in his prayers, in his psalms, Asaph says, well, you said that David's son would sit on his throne forever. Right. But here we are.
And it's not happening.
In judgment, things are falling apart, and they're trampling on your temple, and bodies of your people, dead bodies of your people, laying out there for the buzzards to
eat. It looks bleak.
Where's the promise in all this? Right. So there's this preparation.
And what does all of this preparation do? I think, and we don't want to get into next week's point, but it creates anticipation.
It does.
Because you're getting more and more. I like what you said. You said Eve said, I have begotten a man from the Lord. Okay?
Yeah.
And then Abraham, he looked for a city.
Mm-hmm.
And then Moses said, a prophet will come like me.
Right.
Okay? And then David was promised that his son would sit on the throne forever.
Yeah.
And you just... It gives me cold chills months when I progress through it in that way, knowing the full story now. You know
exactly. There is just this, what seems like God withholding mm-hmm. is actually preparing, which is often the case with us, by the way, and what He does in our lives. It seems as He's withholding
right.
things from us. He's actually preparing us for what He has next.
So, lest you think you have a corner of the market on faith, no.
Those
Hebrews 11,
and we're just giving them. The big names.
Right.
You know, we give Noah and Abraham and Moses and David. We're given the big names, but there were many people. We're going to see those later when we look at our next point.
Right.
And another podcast. But there were people who just plain Joe and plain Jane, Hebrew people who loved God and believed the promise
right.
of the coming one.
And it was accounted to them as faith, Hebrews 11.
That's right. That's exactly right.
As righteousness.
That's right. So so this great preparatory work, this drama of redemption was going on through the fathers and the prophets and so forth.
So we come to, for us now, what are the implications now that we've seen Christ come and we, for the first time, we know He's come. I shouldn't say we've seen it. We know He's come the first time. Now we anticipate His second coming. What are the implications for us as we look at this?
Well, I used a phrase off the air that you said, well, people won't generally know what that means anymore. It's
right.
an older figure of speech. I said, well, God salted the oats. You know, there's a saying that says you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink if he doesn't want it. Someone said, well, no, you can salt the oats. If you want your livestock to drink what you give them and say it's not water, maybe it's medicinal or whatever. But if you create the thirst, they'll
right.
drink. And God was creating a thirst, creating an appetite. He was preparing mankind, the world, to receive its king. Let earth receive her king. And so what we get to see in hindsight as we look at the drama unfold is the God of all the earth creating thirst.
And the church is here now.
And in that sense, we are to be like God. And what God His plan is to use us to do just that. That's why we're called salt. One of the things Christians, and Jesus referred to that. You are the salt of the earth. You know, we use that phrase when somebody's important. And salt is an important commodity. But why is it important? You know, and one of the things that it does, and one of the things we should do is by our lives, by our testimony, by our godliness, by God's work in our lives, create thirst.
We want to prepare the way of the Lord as those men we talked about, those people before us, prepared the way of the Lord.
And much the way John the Baptist did.
We want to do that now.
Right.
For His second coming.
John the Baptist created this anticipation we're talking about. We're going to talk about next week.
Right. So the implication for us, just to wrap it up here, is that prepare the way of the Lord as our forefathers, spiritually speaking, prepared the way of the Lord for his first coming. We do for the second coming.
And may God help us to do just that.
Amen. Well, thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today. And